We're going to finish James, and so we're looking at chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. James has taken us through. We've talked about how the Christian deals in real living, tough faith, when it comes to trials and tribulations, issues of pride and humility, issues of wisdom from above versus wisdom from the earth, earthly wisdom or devilish wisdom, how to live the Christian life. Last week we looked at the issues of submission and suffering and patience, and today we look at prayer and restoration and how to do these things and what it means in the life of the Christian. So if we could stand together and read chapter 5 of James, starting with verse 13 to the end of the book. James says this: "Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Or some of your translations may say, "avails much." Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for a beautiful, beautiful service, beautiful testimonies, and beautiful praise to the Christmas season. Such a beautiful time of year when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the atonement, the one that would be the sacrificial lamb once and for all, the full atonement for our sins. And we're just so grateful for this, and comes with it all the beauty and splendor of the time. And Father, as we look at also the music of Bethlehem Morning and the purpose and mission of this church and why we meet here. And so, Father, I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture, Father, that we'll be closer to you. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit as we look at this passage, and we pray that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will and your wishes. Father, I pray that when we leave here in the next few moments, that we'd be forever changed because of our time with you. In Christ's name, amen. On Facebook this past week, I read an article of the contagion. Let me see if I can find it. I knew that I would lose this. But it's the bait and switch of modern Christianity. The bait and switch of modern Christianity and what is replaced. And it's a very interesting article. But it kind of, in summary, kind of goes like this. That contemporary Christianity, in essence, has become a mechanism for allowing millions of people to replace decent human behavior for the term of being, quote, spiritual. And instead of negating the issue of being just a good Christian that lives life and faith things out and walks with Christ, we've kind of replaced it with this spiritual talk, with the understanding of reading only Christian books and spiritual things and going to church and using spiritual language and being, quote, Christian in a world that does not know him. But instead of being a decent human being, we've become, quote, spiritual. James brought back to the place James, the half-brother of Jesus, takes us to the faith, the place that tough faith things out. Being a believer in this world is not easy. It's not. It's difficult. It's tough. And the idea that we can just pass through this world in an easy way when we have neighbors that are not believers in Christ, when we have people at the store, especially during this time of year when it's just maddening and pure chaos if you go to the malls and if you go to the stores, and very difficult. But James brings us to this place about how we are to have prayer and restoration. Prayer and restoration. So what is prayer? Prayer is simply dialogue with God. It's that time when I set aside all the stuff in my world and I concentrate on the things of God. When I talk to God about my needs and my hurts, I'm thankful. And you know that there are elements of prayer: praise, adoration, confession. And each one has its own time when we confess our things to God, when we have an adoration towards God, when we praise God for various things in our world. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for God saving you? Aren't you thankful? We just finished Thanksgiving, but how thankful I am that God has placed people in my life through the years of my life. And I thank Him for being a holy God who loves and He cares for me. And when I think of the cross of Christ, it only comes through a God who is large enough and big enough to give His only Son for me and for you. I think it was Bunny that said, and it's very true, you may have heard this or not, but if you were the only person on this planet, God still would have given His Son for you. And so when we look at issues concerning the reason for prayer, so the first thing is why we pray. So why we pray? Prayer is when we, first of all, touch the purpose of God. Prayer is the place where we experience the pleasure of God in our lives. There's nothing, please, if you don't, other than the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, please have a daily quiet time with God. And it's the posture of our prayer when we talk to God. We get on our knees or we fall flat or prostrate before God, where we are just alone with God. And there's nothing more intimate, there's nothing more powerful, there's nothing more greater than being alone with an all-holy, almighty God. And to know that our Heavenly Father listens to us. It's prayer. Prayer is the place where we experience the pleasure of God in our lives. Prayer is the platform when we are filled with the power of God. The power of prayer is in direct proportion of our prayer life and to our prayer life. It is the power line, the pipeline to the power of the believer. Prayerlessness equates to powerlessness. Prayerlessness equates to powerlessness. And so now James brings us to the James 5 when he says, if someone is a Christian and is hurt, we pray for healing. We pray for healing. When healing does not occur, we ask why. And then we speculate. If you're not healed, well, you know, you got your prayers aren't being, you're not strong enough. Or maybe there's just some sin in your life. But you better get it right, because after all, God heals. And God does heal. Even today, God heals. So some issues and ideas of sin and sickness. First, there is original sin and personal sin. Sin from Adam, and sin caused indirectly into the world from a fallen world, a fallen nature after Adam. And so that's the first thing. Secondly, sometimes there is a direct relationship between personal sin and sickness. Third, sometimes there's no relationship between personal sin and sickness. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus looked at the story of the blind man, and they asked of Jesus, why, you know, who caused this? Who sinned? This one or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. That only that through this that God would be glorified. And so also, number four, it's not God's will that everyone is healed. If everyone was healed, then we wouldn't have hospitals. So we know in the Gospels, Jesus healed many. And there were times when Jesus did not heal, but a few. So when we are suffering, pray. When we are cheerful, sing praises to God. When we are sick, we call on the elders, or in this case, we'd say the pastors or the leaders of the church, to pray. And it mentions the issue of oil. Now, several things we could say it very, there's no special thing in the oil. There's no magic. But we could say it in summary. James says this, take your medicine and pray, for the results are in God's hands. One more thing about sickness. If you were on the pastor search team, you've met Craig Colbreth. Some of you met Colbreth. He led deacon training. Craig is our Florida Baptist Convention regional catalyst. We just had a meeting with him this past week. There were seven associations in our region, which is the East region, and it goes from North Jacksonville to Fort Pierce. Craig Colbreth is the regional catalyst. And Craig's a great guy. Some of you may know his wife, Gail, has cancer. And they have tried all kinds. They've gone through all of everything that you could think of. Been to Mayo and been over to Minnesota and been to Houston and been to this specialist. And cancer stopped and gets worse. Cancer stops and gets worse. It gets stops and gets worse. And now it's spreading. And so in all of this, you know, it's not good. It's bad. It's very bad. And they've been praying for healing. Everybody's praying for healing and all of this. And so through all of this, he said this recently. He said he just, in all of this, he and Gail are just wanting that Jesus would be glorified in how they live in this journey. And so, if there is and then there are four issues or ideas of healing. First is a confession of sin is healthy, employ it. Confession of sin is healthy, employ it. Number two, praying for one another is essential, practice it. Number three, use of medical assistance is imperative, so obey it, do it. And number four, when healing comes from God, claim it. Talking about the oil has three possible meanings. One, it was for medicinal use. Two, it was, like I said, some magic way that God healed. Or three, it was symbolic. Oil is symbolic in the Old Testament of the presence of God. In the New Testament, it symbolizes the anointing or the presence of God. It has a spiritual, medicinal in nature. It's also important to note that Jesus never commanded it, Jesus never advised it, and Jesus never practiced it. So when we are afflicted, we pray. When we are sick, we pray. When corrupted by sin, we pray. When specific needs occur, we pray. We pray continuous. Prayer is designed for every part of life. And prayer is no substitute for responsible, intelligent action. There is a time and a place for action. Like I said a few weeks ago, you know, the guy that said, you know, I don't, and when I was at Palm Beach Atlantic, I don't need to study because God gives me the answers. I don't need an alarm clock because God wakes me up. Okay. Well, he didn't get through school. You wonder why. I'm being serious. Prayer is not for the perfect, but the imperfect. So James says, pray and do it. Pray. The fact is I don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. We should always be in prayer. So pray. So that's what we're looking at as far as prayer. Why I pray. Secondly, what do we do when someone strays? We pray, and then what happens when somebody strays? Because we live in an imperfect world and we deal with sin every day, all of us struggle with something. And so we need to understand that we are in we're in a rescue mission here. Saints can slip. Saints can slip. The church can cover. Saints can slip. The church can cover. And so we are to, and only Jesus saves. The church can't save somebody. Only Jesus saves. So what to do when someone strays? First, we are to have the right attitude. We are to have the right attitude. We are to, Jesus talked about the judgmentalness, and so the reality is none of us have a right to send judgment on people. Only God takes care of that. So we're to have the right attitude. Secondly, James says to restore them. Restore them. The word here is the idea of mending nets, and we are to have a positive understanding and not a negative understanding. Third, don't just judge lest you fall into the same trap. Don't judge lest you fall into the same trap. Confession can bring restoration. Confession can call restoration. And there is a call for mutual respect. So we're to confess the fault, and then we're to call on the Father. Confess the fault and call on the Father. Now, this issue of confession, sometimes you see this. Sometimes there are times when we confess things and we really don't mean it. There are other times we confess things and it really should be guided to that one person. Instead, we want to confess all of it to the whole of the world to see, and we have to be very careful of that. But James says confession can bring restoration. Consecration can bring revolution, and consistency can bring results. So when we deal with this, we are to deal with a sense of spiritualness, gentleness, and humbleness. Rescue. Go back and find them and bring them home. There's nothing like the story of the illustration of the hostage crisis, the Iranian hostage crisis, the 444 days, and what a chaotic, crazy time that was. I saw the whole story on that. I can't remember what it was on. It was not on too long ago. But when these hostages came home, you remember it was just after Christmas. It was in January. When they came home and they arrived home, and how people placed yellow ribbons around trees for those days that they were gone. They were not forgotten, but they were rescued and brought home. In the same way, when a sinner comes to that place, we're not to write them off. We're not to say, well, it figures, look at them. But we're to understand. This issue of covering a multitude of sins doesn't refer to the church can save a person. But because of love, and Paul uses this in other places as well, because of love, love covers over a multitude of sins. That means that when it comes to these things, that the church comes alongside of that person. The church is praying for that person. The church, we call it in Baptist life, backsliding. All of a sudden, you stop seeing person very faithful in church, and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore, then, well, you know about this guy, you know that he stopped coming. Well, he doesn't like this, he doesn't like that. The church can cover. If the church has a judgmental attitude towards the person, it just causes more friction. But if the church loves, comes alongside, and as James says, that understanding that Greek word of mending nets, that means that we are to love and to be concerned and pray for that person. Go back, find them, and bring them home. And Luke 15, Jesus tells a story about the prodigal son. And we know this beloved story about a son that wanted his due. Even before the father passed away, he said, I want my share of the inheritance. In other words, he's saying, man, I don't care about you anymore. I just I just want what's due to me. His father gave it to him, and you know the story. He left home, and he spent all his money on riotous and wasteful living. And he finally, through various issues of things, he finally came to himself. And he wanted to come home. And the father was waiting for him. And he went and he grabbed him, and they had a party for him. Because the son had been repentant. You know, in the same way, you know, I talk about my dad a lot. I talk about my grandfather a lot. My dad told this, and by the way, I told you my grandfather was this very godly person, but he would get on the job. He was a roofing contractor, and he would turn into a tyrant. And my dad, you know, the vice cop, he could turn into a tyrant. And so working together with both of them, two tyrants. I did it once. That was it. Never again. I told them both that. One time. I said, I'll never do this again. But my dad always told the story about my granddad when he was young. He said, whenever and whatever happened in my life as a teenager, wherever I was, if I ever got into trouble, whatever I had done, I could call my father and he would always come and get me and bring me home. And so, as James concludes this book, he speaks to us as the church because we are on a rescue mission. And Jesus said, go and find them and bring them home. And so that's what we're to do. We are to pray. We're to pray whatever happens, whether we're afflicted, whether we have sin, whether we need healing, whatever happens. If things are going good, we're to sing praises of prayer to God. And then when it comes down to the end of it, we're to go and restore people because that's what God has called us to do. Prayer and restoration. Tough faith. Tough faith. Not an easy faith. Not an easy go of it. Not an easy thing to just be a believer in this world, is it? It's not. We're going to finish a few minutes early today because what I want to do is just spend, as James tells us, to pray. And so I'm going to just ask the church, we're just going to sit here, and we're going to pray for a couple of minutes. And I'm going to ask God to, as you're sitting there, we're just going to pray. And then we're going to have a time of invitation. And Don's going to come up. Bunny's going to lead. I mean, she's going to play. And Don's going to lead. And if you've never accepted Christ, we're going to invite you to do this. Or maybe you want to join this church or just come to the altar and pray. But I'm just going to ask just for a couple of moments that we would just be in silent prayer. Maybe somebody needs healing, or somebody just is hurt, or somebody, you know, we were talking about, you know, going through the season sometimes can be very lonely, very difficult for some. So maybe you just need some encouragement. But let's just pray and ask God for what you need. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Your Holy Spirit, just walk with us. Father, we just lift up so many things to you. And we're just so grateful. We're grateful that we can have this dialogue with you. And Father, we can pray at any place, any time, anywhere. But Father, to have the intimacy, the wonder, the awesome power, and to just listen. Father, you've told us to ask and to pray for things. You say we don't get because we ask with the wrong motives, or we ask with the wrong purpose. Father, teach us to be people of prayer. Father, we do pray for the people in our lives that we would say, well, you know, we don't see them anymore. Father, teach us to not be judgmental, but to be loving and to be caring. And as you said, go back and find them and bring them home. The church can cover. The church can cover. Only you save, but the church can cover. And so, Father, I pray that today there's somebody that here that has never accepted you. They've never given their lives to you. They've never surrendered their lives to you. And they're just kind of living out there by themselves. We pray, Father, that there's somebody that would just come to know you. Maybe there's somebody that needs to get a new start or join this church or just be reminded that you're with them. Christmas is all about that. Emmanuel, you are with us. Father, would you lift up our leadership here today? We lift up the search team and the deacons and the leadership and the Sunday school people and the greeters and everybody that has just given their lives to helping this church. So, Father, I lift them up to you today. And Father, we pray that you would just be with us. Remind us during this season of time who you are in our lives. That we're not by ourselves. We're not alone. Father, you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.